Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota Vikings fans, the Purple People Eaters podcast is back. I had a little problem with the intro, obviously. Oh my gosh. All right, so we are back on the Purple People Eaters podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron, will be joining me shortly. Hope everybody's having a good week. It is Tuesday. We are live on a Tuesday. How's that song go? Going up on a Tuesday. Okay, Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, back here on the Purple People Eaters podcast, home of the Minnesota Vikings favorite podcast. The fans have spoken. No, they haven't. By the way, big shouts out to anyone that's checked out the Purple People Eaters podcast. I think this is, what, the fifth episode? It makes sense. Week five. And big shouts out to Canada. Anybody listening to this thing in Canada or just in general, much appreciated. But I underestimated Canada. I'll just straight up say it. So I really appreciate it. Definitely appreciate it. Definitely. Like I said, big shouts out to Canada. Really, really pumped about the people listening up north there. You know, when I'm talking to my friends from all over the country, not like I have millions of friends here, but when I do throughout the year or whatever, or throughout the last, whatever, 15, 20 years, especially from the south, when I say, yeah, we're going to go up north this weekend, we're going up north, they're like, where are you going, dude? Like, how far north can you get? And my Canadian friends and fans, they know. They know how far you can get north. But anyway, like I said, we are live on a Tuesday. We're streaming the show live. If this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, it streams live right on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It's under the Ropeadope Radio umbrella, so to speak. It streams live. It archives right here. It's basically the headquarters. However, it's also available on iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, and basically anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find the Purple People Eaters podcast under the Ropeadope Radio podcast. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, okay? Head on over to the gruelingtruth.net. It's a great outlet for sports. They have football, basketball, boxing, baseball. They even do CFL stuff, so that tells you how hardcore it is. But, yeah, the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network can be found everywhere that I just talked about, right? iTunes and Player FM and Spreaker. They got a really good app there at Spreaker. It can be streamed on Spotify and on iHeartRadio. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. That's mybookie. Maybe, you know, check out an article at thegruelingtruth.net. I write college football, college basketball when the season turns, and boxing as well. You know, maybe listen to a podcast while you're there. And while you're at it, why don't you place a bet? It'll direct you right to mybookie.ag. So we got a lot to talk about here on the Purple People Eaters podcast. I shouldn't say that too many more times because I'm going to stumble on it, just like I did in the intro. But that was due to my cat, okay? That was due to my cat. I'll admit when I make a mistake with the Purple People Eaters podcast, but the cat just came flying at me. Thought it was going to scratch me in the eye. Luckily, I ducked. Anyway, unfortunately, Kings only have one win. 1-2-1. Doesn't that just sound strange? You know, let's say we lose, okay, this weekend. The Sunday primetime afternoon game. Let's say we do. I'm not trying to jinx us. I'm just speaking here randomly, okay? You're looking at one. Oh, my God. You're looking at 1-3-1. Like, I would have been just okay. Looking at the schedule, if you look at the road games, you go, hey, 2-3. We'll bounce back, win the next two games. We're 4-3. Forget about it. That's just not the case right now. And we are definitely in trouble, potentially, to fall. Well, not in trouble. We're four games into the season. But 1-3-1 is just not fun. It's just not fun. So, unfortunately, we got to start talking today. We got to start talking, is what I just said. We got to start the show talking about that Rams game. Now, from a NFL fan standpoint, it must have been a great game to watch. And I did like how we bounced back and battled back when it looked like they were going to put us away. We had a chance to at least tie it. I guess technically speaking, we could have went for two, you know, and won the game had we had scored. I mean, if we still had Carlson on our team, we probably would have just said, screw it. But, you know, I don't know. I can't believe it was a complete shootout like that, to be honest with you. I really can't. But we'll get into that. We're going to start with the Rams game last Thursday. We did a show, 6 days ago? Because, yeah, we did I think it was Wednesday during the afternoon. So we're going to talk that. We're obviously going to preview and predict the upcoming game. Like I said, the primetime Fox game. Maybe not primetime, afternoon slot primetime, not primetime, if you know what I mean. And not Deion Sanders either. Week 5, Vikes, Eagles, we'll talk about it. Oh, boy, that's a big one. And no, there's no rematch. Last year was last year. Technically, we are still in 2018. But there's no rematch. It's not a rematch from last year's. NFC, no. Different teams, different defenses on our side anyway. So we're going to have to talk about that as well. In the meantime, after we recap, some of the topics for discussion, we're going to discuss offense, defense, right? The running game still just, still majorly, underachieving, to say the least. Pass game, though, wow, it's on point. It's like the best it's been in almost a decade. Defensive-wise, I mean, you can probably hit every level of the defense, right? Defensive line, linebacker, Anthony Barr, and, you know, the secondary, right? But really keying in on Anthony Barr and the secondary, especially when it comes to that Rams game. Not to pick on Barr like he's just been horrible this whole year, but he was running behind a lot of guys last week. It sounds like Coach Larry is with a client right now, so he may or may not, and that is the Wisconsin native, the Packer segment / Badger segment that unfortunately we've been missing out lately. But hopefully he'll get the call in. And we will close the show with the Minnesota Gophers football segment. We're going to preview that Gopher versus Hawkeye, Iowa Hawkeye game. That's the homecoming game? Man, that's not too cool. That's not too cool. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host at this moment, see what's going on. What's up, Aaron? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I've been better. No, I'm good. I'm still it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, I'm good. I mean, I'd like a W. I would like a W, but I'm good. I'm good. I'm breathing, you know. My heart's right. Pumping. So, that you know, there's a lot worse things going on in our world that, by the way, we're not going to get into, but you got to keep it all in perspective. You know, there's a lot to run down when it comes to the LA Rams game from last Thursday. Like I said, if you're just a football fan, that was a fun game to watch, no doubt about it. A little bit different as a Vikings fan. Just, you know, at the beginning of the year, you look at that as a road game and you go, you know what? That's probably an L. That is probably an L. No big deal, but it's probably an L. Did surprise me, though, that it was that high scoring. That's what kind of threw me for a loop. I mean, I think it's only been done like three times ever where two quarterbacks, 2000, they threw for both over 400 yards. And I think three touchdowns. I think that was part of the stat. But in 2012, Tony Romo and Drew Brees did it. What do you know? This year, Drew Brees did it again with Ryan Fitzpatrick earlier this year. And then, of course, Goff and Cousins did it last Thursday. So, yeah, that was crazy. I mean, that's nuts, especially with no interceptions in the same game. That's the only third time that it's been in history that it's been done. When you look at, like, third down stuff, you go, okay, 8 for 16 on, you know, for the Vikes. I guess 16 third downs is a lot to be on, but you're like, hey, 50%, that's pretty good. Then you look at the Rams, you know, third down, and you say, hey, 1 for 6, dude, that's pretty good. However, the fact that they only had 6 third downs on 12 offensive possessions, that all of a sudden ruins that stat pretty damn quick. Just looking, you know, we're going to start positive, okay? Let's start with the positive stuff here. Adam Thielen, you know, since 2017 has the most, I think it was 44 at the beginning of the game anyway, third down catches. He's Mr. Clutch. And basically he gets all the catches in a good chunk of the yards kind of in the middle of the field. And then they go, hey, Diggs, where you at? Okay, there you go. Touchdown, we got it. You know what I mean? They're really working as a good combination. And the Vikings offense in general as far as passing, you know, heading into the game, it was the highest into the NFL as far as 72%, 72.5 it was in there. And it's not like he had a bummy game, no doubt about it. You know, and Cook, or Cousins, I should say, not Cook, Cousins, 422 for three touchdowns. Like I said earlier, he did get sacked four times, but like, how many times this guy is going to go over 400 and 300 yards? And I guess I'm kind of worried about how many times are we going to sling it 50 and 55 times. We better put some ice on that shoulder. Thielen went for a $135. Diggsy went for a $123. So it was all there. No doubt about it. Of course, you know, we had 200-yard receivers. Unfortunately, those Rams, and this is where you got to get a little negative, they have three guys. Woods had 5 for a $101. Cook, 7 for 116. And Kupp, the quote-unquote possession receiver, had 9 for a $162 and 2 touchdowns. Didn't look like a possession receiver on some of those touchdowns, with our guys trying to catch up with them, or just a perfectly placed ball as well. We gotta say that. So from a positive offensive side, we're not going to even mention the running game because that's not positive. But, you know, we are slinging the shit out of the ball. That's good. That's great in a lot of ways. So there's positives there, clearly. The offense looked great against that defense. We're going to get into defense in general in a little bit, Aaron, but what are your thoughts overall about the game? you know, when they did jump up on us a little bit, how we battled back. Thielen caught that nice touchdown, and I think we got it to like 31-26 at that point. Still had a chance to at least tie it late in the game. Offensively speaking, and when we talk about it, we got to talk passing because that's the only thing we can freaking do. What'd you think from a passing game and just the overall, you know, feel of the game before we start breaking down too much on the defense, the negatives?
Well, first of all, I thought that, you know, it was a fun game to watch if you don't have any skin in the game. But fortunately, we had some skin in the game. And I thought that, yeah, we threw the ball. I thought it was just a really surreal game if you look at it from a Vikings fan and the history of Vikings fans. I could have thought we lost that game 1,000 times because I just never had seen a quarterback for the Vikings keep hurling touchdowns and keep bringing us back. So I gave up on that game at least 5 times. It was hilarious. So it was sort of surreal. You don't see our defense giving up 38 and the way they gave up 38. So that was something you just never see as far as this team is concerned. And then you don't see us throwing the rock and catching balls and keeping up with a scoring game like that. So I thought it was just a strange game overall. A lot of defensive problems, which we'll get into later. A lot of concerns there. Lack of running game, like you pointed out, which we can talk about a little bit later. But my basic point on that is that kind of league-wide, with the exception of a few teams, the Saints and the Rams, you know, teams with dominant running backs, running around the league in general is down. So I don't know how much of that is just the way the league is going or if we have a significant problem. I'm willing to lean more to a little bit of both. I think it is the league a little bit, and again, the interior of that line is really suspect. But yeah, overall, I thought the game was just kind of shocking on all points. Sit down to watch it, you think it's going to be, you know, ground and pound, and then you get this high-scoring aerial affair that, you know, just punch, counter punch, punch, counter punch, and just, you know, it's not something you see. So I was kind of shocked by the game in its entirety.
That's a good way to put it. And there was a couple times where I'm like, okay, they're going to step on our neck now. Here we go. We're done. And then boom, you know, coming back. And that, it's hard to be 100% disappointed. And, you know, we said this every fucking week, Aaron. You know what I mean? It's like, it's hard to be that disappointed. But then you're like, yeah, but the keys, the foundation of our squad, it's easy to be disappointed. And you do make a good point, though. About, you know, the lack of running league-wide. I think that is fair. I definitely think that is fair. But obviously to an extent, you know, because it's low. Here we go. The Vikings currently rank 5th in passing yards per game, 327 we're averaging, 32nd. So that is there 33 teams or 32 teams? There's 32 teams.
I believe
teams,
there's 33,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're the worst, 63. And we're getting close to a couple of years back when Adrian Peterson went down and our offensive line was just horrible for those back to back years, one with Teddy, one with Bradford, back to back years where it's just garbage. In our defense, and yeah, this is where it hurts, we're 22nd in the league in defense. So although I do I hear what you're saying, you do make a good point about running in general. No, it's not people aren't barely running, no doubt about it. But I would just like to be effective kind of with the game in general, with the running game in general. If you look at it, kind of like they were to an extent anyway, where you're just like, all right, well, they're producing something, kind of like week one, where did we light the world on fire? No, but we did actually run the ball. We knew Cook was going to be on, you know, a little bit of a measured, like, well, hold on, let's abuse him coming back. He did get 10 carries for 20 yards. A lot of it was early on. Murray carried the ball twice, two times. Like, that's crazy. You had Cousins. Now, some of them weren't planned, but he carried the rock four times, and you got Murray carrying it only twice, and that's troublesome for me. Now, this is what I mean by they were at least productive. Gurley, perfect case. You brought him up, too, and you know, in your whole point of that. 17-83, almost five a carry. They basically ran the ball 20 times, 100 yards, five a carry. You know, that works for me. That would be, I'd be like, hey, that's great. You know, that we're about halfway that plus our losses. Obviously, wasn't a highly penalized game. We just had that one fumble loss. Now, that's one thing we can say about Cousins. Sure, you know, when you are getting hit a fair amount at times and you're asked to sling the ball that many times, you're probably going to get hit even more. We have given up kind of a lot of hits, and we haven't always delivered the hits on the other sides. Forget about just, you know, sacks, just hits in general. That's one thing that we've done really well with in Zimmer's time anyway. We had the time of possession. Both sides had 25 first downs, and they didn't get a bunch of first downs running either. Like I said, third down, 8 for 16. But, yeah, that 1 for 6 is the fact that they only had 6 third downs. That tells you they're making some pretty damn big plays on us. By the way, the Vikings long snapper, Kevin McDermott, he lost the tip of his pinky versus the Rams. I guess he's okay. He had surgery after the loss. Just wanted to highlight that because I almost forgot about that. But, yeah, as far as the offense goes, just kind of wrapping it up, we need to run the ball more. Just give it a try. At least we did have one guy get 10 carries, which is a lot more than we could say last week. Man, I don't know. I really don't know. It wasn't a blowout in the first half. You know, we did try to run more in the first half. And I could see later in the game when they started getting up by 10 and more, then, you know, that's a little different. But yeah, Thielen, man, he's been targeted 55 times, more than any receiver. Just a stud. Same with Diggs. You know, he like I said, he's kind of the playmaker, whereas Thielen just moves the chains and then will come up with a big, you know, play out of kind of nowhere to break everything open. But flip, you know, the flipper. Let's call him the flipper. The offensive coordinator, the guy who a lot of people spoke highly of. He's a quarterback guru, should I say that? I don't know. I did. It's too late. But he does have a good track record of that. Does this guy just not want to run the ball? Is that what it is? Because, like I said, we weren't that far down, you know, in the first half. We had a lead there. Is this just something that the defense is, you know, that the defense, the opponent defense, the opposition, that they're just giving us more passing opportunities, so we're taking it? Obviously, it has, you know, has to do with playing, you know, from behind too, but are we just falling into a pattern where good old Flip, the coordinator, he just is not a big, let's try to get it somewhere around the 50-50 mark? I mean, is it 90-10 with this guy? Is that what we're going to deal with pretty much all season? Or the hole's just not there and he's saying screw it?
Well, I noticed a few glaring weaknesses. If you notice a few of those replays where Aaron Donald was just dominating Tom Compton, just inside, outside, rush moves. I think they said that Aaron Donald had something like 13 pressures in the game. That's something that will force you maybe to run away from the ball if you just can't handle a defensive tackle. You know, maybe you run at him. I mean, that's what I would do. But, you know, that was a big weakness I saw. Also, getting a lot of pressure on Cousins. I saw a stat today where he's the most pressure quarterback by like 20 pressures. Like the other guy, I think, is Breeze, and he's like 55 pressures. Cousins is like 77. So just huge amount of pressures coming from the inside and the defensive tackles, which means our guards are not playing up to snuff. And if you can get pushed on the inside, you can run a lot of stunts and you can work things to the outside, which is what happened at the end of the game. So I thought offensive line here is really the issue. I don't think they have a lot of faith in this line to get pushed so they can run the football. Therefore, they got to pass it a lot. I mean, that's my hypothesis. I can't see DeFilippo ran the ball a lot with Philadelphia. I think it's at a point where you got Cook a little hobbled and you want to kind of bring him back slowly, so you don't want to put him in a lot of danger. That's another reason to maybe not run the football, but you got Latavius and he should be able to run. So I think a lot of it is just trying to find a way around a very poor offensive line, and I think they figure the best way to do that is to drop back and sling it. I don't know if I agree with it. I think that, you know, you do the opposite in my experience is you get the guys to run the football, but whatever it is, there needs to be some change on it. I don't know if you take Compton out, maybe try some different guard combinations. You got Elfline back, so that could help. Maybe it's just continuity. It's only week four going on week five. Maybe they're just looking for the right combination in there. But, yeah, you got to run the football more. That was a huge, huge concern for me. You were saying it was not a very penalized game. I thought, what was with that block in the back that they picked up? I'm still wondering about that. It was clearly a block in the back. I think I've heard it talked about a little bit, but that was something that I don't see obvious penalties picked up much. I don't know where to go from that. I feel like that was a huge play, 7 points, which is what we lost by. We were driving. And, you know, it was weird to me. Another holding call on, I think, Elfline, was it Elfline? And they didn't show the holding. They didn't show the replay of the hold. So I thought that was kind of strange. All in all, it was just kind of an odd game. Not to go too far, I don't want to blame anything on the officials. You can win the game or you can lose the game. But so I thought basically what you're seeing with maybe the lack of running game and all these attempts, and there's got to be just not a lot of faith in what the offensive line can do. And if that is the case, that needs to change, and it needs to change quickly.
Yeah, and I do remember to kind of, as we kind of, you know, wind down here with the Rams recap, I do remember a missed call by the referee, speaking of refs, when Thielen didn't get touched. He didn't get touched. He did not get touched. They showed a couple replays. I paused it and put it in slow motion. He made a good catch, stumbled on the ground. This is not college football or high school. You can get up. Once a knee touch, you're done. And this is the NFL. He got up, started running, and they said, no, you got touched. But, you know, a couple of things stand out with NFL sometimes. And we've gone over it, you know, the what the hell is a catch and what the hell is a sack or a legal sack. But they couldn't review the play. And it's like, what? What do you mean you can't? Like, we couldn't even throw a flag to review the play. And it was like, and that was a touchdown. I believe it was a field goal that we got. Remember that? Our first field goal, too, with the shank in, it's like, okay. He even had a smile on his face, Bailey did. He's like, yeah, all right, we're going to, oh, boy, this isn't hard to kick as a fight. This helmet, it's the horns or something. Uh-huh. I don't know what the hell happened. You put the horns on, and you're just done. But you can kick it. You just don't know where the hell it's gonna go. Carlson,
Brandon,
you
greased that one in there.
You
just kind of hit the crossbar, and it bounced in. Could have bounced any direction.
It really could have. I think Carlson's balls are still in the air. You know, he had plenty of freaking. Ooh, they're still in the air. He'd kick it from here to Green Bay. But, you know, obviously it's got to go through the upright. A couple other things. Hughes made some mistakes, but I'll tell you what, early on, he made a couple of tackles in space on Gurley that really stood out to me, which is always a good thing. And what do you know? We bring in, what is it, Aldrick? Aldrick Robinson comes in, And what's he do? Yeah. All he does is catch touchdowns. He's like Chris Carter. All he does is catch touchdowns and first down. And that was pretty crazy. That was pretty fun. You know, we thought, like, hey, he's got a rapport because he was a Redskin and this, all that. And we didn't really know. We're just like, yeah, that works. That'll work. We need somebody. And just to give pressure, you know, anyway, to you-know-who, Treadwell. So that was pretty cool for him to come in. And he made a hell of a catch, too, by the way. I did notice this, and we might as well get to freaking defense, okay? So at every level, you can say something. You could talk about the defensive line not getting enough pressure. You could talk about the linebackers a little bit, mostly in the game, Anthony Barr running behind. All you saw is the Ram player, and then, there's Anthony. Hey, Anthony, there you are, you know, right behind him. And it's like, okay, now it's not the easiest matchup, I understand, but he is, you know, that guy for us. And then obviously the secondary as well. We can get into some of that. But I noticed on the first two touchdowns, to me, well, two out of the three, not the Bar one, but I think it was the Cup, both the Cups. No, because he had that one too. I can't remember. But two out of the three, it was like the cornerback, it was in position. He was right there. Now, credit to Goff for throwing that kind of ball, and he did fit it in there and all that. We can't take credit away all the way, but the defender was right there. And it was like, just get your hand up a little bit, turn your head, something. And even Barr on that one play, put your hands up or something. Maybe it wouldn't have done anything, but hey, it's not like Gurley is, you know, having the hands down into the last second type thing like a wide receiver. So I kind of felt on the ones where the corners gave up touchdowns, to me, they were right there. They just didn't make the play. Something that kind of haunted some of these young corners earlier in their career, not so much with Xavier. Xavier was the pass interference the first year. That was his problem. But that was kind of frustrating. It was like, dude, and then, you know, I'll say this, Xavier didn't need to flag out of bounds. You know, that actually kept a drive alive. I think they scored on that drive as well. But let's talk about it. First of all, everybody's talking about Anthony Barr. Now, is he, you know, did you just see the backside of the wide receiver and the running back on that play where you're like, where the hell were you? Is it a tough matchup? What happened to Anthony Barr in this game? Because he didn't have his best game, clearly, you know, clearly on this one.
They definitely schemed against him. You know, it's easy to say from the couch, but you can't put a linebacker in any situation on a wide receiver. And he got beat twice coming out of zones and or being the guy left to cover a wide receiver, I think, on two touchdowns where he was chasing. I don't really blame Anthony at all. I think that they put him in a tough position. I think the Rams did an excellent job scheming, and I think they put Anthony in a lot of one-on-ones with guys he couldn't or shouldn't have to cover. So I think that's an adjustment that's going to be made pretty quickly. Maybe Kendricks could do it, maybe, but Anthony's just a little too tall, a little too rangy. He's fast. He's downhill. He's a good player, and I think the people that are giving Anthony a hard time don't really understand the dynamics of what's going on there. They're putting two guys in the zone where Anthony has no choice but to take this inside guy who's doing a crossing route. You can't follow. You're not going to – I don't care. I mean, Rhodes would have a hard time following Cooks on a crossing route.
Sure.
Or a double move up the end, and that's what they got. So I think the Rams just did a really good job of isolating a linebacker on a wide receiver or a linebacker on a much faster player like Gurley or somebody like that. So I don't really blame too much on Anthony. I think he held up well. He did what he had to do. I don't think he'll be put in that position again. And if he is, it's going to really be a big concern because that means they don't know how to scheme out of that or how to give Anthony or someone else on that player. As far as defensively, I had one huge concern throughout that whole game, and you brought it up a little bit earlier when you were talking about offense. I wanted to save it for defense, but they were running Gurley on first down, getting 7 yards a pop.
any offense, any offense is going to be very successful if you're giving up 7-yard run on first down. Now, that could be a lot to do with our defense, but that really bothered me the whole game. Meth, I think, really had, what, like 10, 12 carries for 100 yards, something like that. I think you said something like that. That was because every first down he was getting 6, he was getting 7, he was getting 5. Keep putting in second and short every time. You're not going to need third downs if you're second and 3. Each
hard
possession
to get
or each time you go through it.
If you're second and 3, very hard to get pressure if you're second and 3.
I saw the Rams had averaged 10 yards a play. That's a first down a play. I mean, as far as offensively, I don't think the Rams could have played a better game. You were right about the defensive backs just being in position and just perfectly throwing balls. There's not a lot anybody can do about that. It's a credit to the Rams. I think, you know, we have some problems defensively. I don't want to give everybody a pass here. I think a lot of it's the scheme issues. Now, you hear a lot of talk about Zimmer's system and how he tweaked it, and now he might simplify it and bring it back to what it was because the players aren't picking it up or they're not able to communicate it well enough. And I think that's probably valid. I think that might be why we're seeing this like sieve-like defense for the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, is that maybe just kind of, you know, put too much on their plate, maybe made too many changes, maybe bring it back to where it was and kind of make small changes or adjustments to the defense and not try to wholesale it because you got beat by the Saints last year and the Eagles. We were talking about just the Rams did a good job of making positive mismatches go their way. That was something I saw and really pointed out. The other thing, at this point, it doesn't seem like we have a nickel corner, does it? I mean, Hughes has been practicing in the nickel and then due to circumstances ends up playing outside in the games. So we've got to really solidify that. And I really didn't think Rhodes and Waynes played all that well. I know Rhodes looked a little lethargic, and he just didn't seem to be himself. I don't know if he's got a nagging injury or something like that, but he just didn't seem to be the Xavier Rhodes that we're used to seeing, and kind of lost his head a little bit, which I guess if you're not playing up to your level, I'm sure that's going to cause some frustration, maybe cause you to lose your head. And the other last thing, maybe
well, plus
point
you went to Florida
that I have
State too, you know?
Turnover chain. And then we're not getting pass rush, man. And if we can't get pass rush, I don't care who you are, you can't cover in the back end. So we're going to have to do something about getting consistent pass rush. Now, I know Everson's gone, and, you know, that's bad, but we've got enough players. I think we got to work on a better way to get some sustained rush because these guys are getting way too much time in the pocket, and you can't cover players of those caliber or really any caliber if you can't get any sort of pass rush. So I think that's my biggest point on defense. I think Hughes is playing okay. You just got to find a spot for him and keep him there. I think you're just trying to use him in too many spots. You've got other corners you can use. Alexander is not playing well. I don't know what you're going to do with him. Maybe sit him. I don't know. Get him a special teams role for a while. Just get him up to speed on what you're trying to do. He's had 3 years to figure out that nickel spot, and I got to say Hughes probably plays a little better than he does at this point. So I don't really know what you do with that. But, yeah, defensively you got a lot of changes to make. I'm excited to see what they're going to try to do against Philadelphia, and I think it's a good idea to maybe just kind of simplify it, bring it back to how these guys played for the last 4 years and let them decide how they want to handle certain things. But, yeah, it wasn't a good defensive showing. It was unlike this team, and, you know, it's been like that for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and, it's got to get fixed. I'm no genius. I don't know how to fix it exactly, but I do know something needs to happen. It needs to change, or we're going to keep giving up 31, 38 points a week.
Right. Man, yeah, I think you're right. Just dial it back. And he does have some intricate parts of his scheme that it does take a little while. He did talk about that, Zimmer, saying that, you know, I did have a little worries in the first month or so. And you look back and you go, we could be 2-2, and we were 2-2 last. The topic that's going around out there as far as, you know, has Zimmer been found out? Has he been figured out his defensive game plan and whatnot? And, yeah, I think it's a good call. Just dial it back. Obviously, It's a little too complex for some of these guys. You're right, Alexander. Like, he looks the part, big, scrappy guy, long arms, and just doesn't make enough plays in general. And, I mean, giving up 556 last week, it's the most yards the Vikings have given up under Zimmer. And the most, the franchise has allowed since, 2011. And we were 3-13 that year. And that actually was basically when the defense was just horrendous, And, you know, ever since he's come along, Zimmer, we've been pretty damn good. You know, we do not give up those type of points. And even if you get yards on us some games, okay, cool, you got some yards. But we're going to, you know, stop you, make you kick field goals. And that was a type of game where we needed to make them kick some freaking field goals. You know, and they weren't stressed, like you said. I mean, the first down running was key. You put any offense, but especially, like you said, that offense, which is the number one offense right now, second, I should say. I believe the Chiefs with Mahomes is number one, but yeah, you just can't give them that kind of opportunity, man. You really can't.
All that being said, we lost by seven with a chance to win at the end. All is lost, but it's worthy to know we could have won that game. We were in position. We had time on the clock, and we were down 7 points. We couldn't make a block on the end, and that's how it went.
Right. And Treadwell did have another drop, but he did bounce back a little bit later with some key plays. And just an Everson Griffin update, not really a full update, but in his post a little while back, this is his Instagram post, this past week's events have raised many questions, and I want to apologize to everyone who was impacted. I am currently focused on resolving personal issues with which I have been dealing with for a long time. Once I have had time to address those, I hope to share my story with everyone. I am extremely grateful for the support that he's received from his family, the Vikings organization, teammates, and the tremendous fan base. I apologize for not being able to take the field with my teammates and do not have an exact timeline for my return. I promise, however, I will return as a much improved person and player. So that tells me that he's coming back. When? No clue. But he's coming back. That tells me he's coming back. And, you know, since the show last Wednesday, there was even some, you know, news stories that had popped up that looked legit that turned out to not be legit. So there was a lot of clickbait out there, even from sources that it's like they just took it and ran, like, yeah, screw it, it seems like it's good. And some of them, at least the respectable ones, if there are respectable ones out there, they did retract portions of the story and whatnot. But, yeah, you know, thoughts go out to them. But to me, that post, that tells me he's coming back. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think he's going to come back. Now, like you said, he doesn't know when. It's not going to be this week. Sounds like it's not going to be next week. But I think he'll be back. And, you know, he is one of the better pass rushing, ends in the league. Definitely one of the heart and souls, if not the heart and soul of our team. Seems like a lovable guy. A lot of people in the locker room, you know, always goof on him in a fun way because he's a goofy guy that always likes to make people laugh and whatnot. And most interviews that I see with him, he just seems like a guy that, is having some issues right now, and let's hope that he gets through them. So, and this is the schedule. I was saying this earlier, Aaron. It's like, this is that early schedule where you're like, okay, so we just had the Rams on the road. What's up next? Oh, let me get the old schedule out. And, what do you know? We're going on the road to Philadelphia. Isn't that fun? I mean, golly. Now, they're not playing their best football. They're 2-2. They're not 1-2-1, but they're 2-2. And the bookies will take right now. We're only a 3-point underdog, which basically says it's a pick'em game because you have about three. They give you about 3 points for being the home team generally, especially a home team like Philly. So it's a pick'em game. It is a pick'em game on the books. Dalvin Cook is questionable. He's going to play. Marcus Sherrills, I hope he's questionable. I hope he plays because I was going to mention this too. I don't want to see Thielen taking punt returns back. I'm not saying he can't do it, but No, we don't want to lose him. We can't lose people on offense in general. So I'd like to see Sherrills back. From their side, Corey Clement, a running back, questionable. Sproles, questionable. And an offensive tackle, Weathersby, is questionable as well. When you look at these stats, you know, on ESPN.com, you go under the NFL and whatnot. They break down some of the numbers for the games and all that. God, you see, it's early, but 27.5 points, points allowed per game. It's just, it's like, are we, what year are we in? Is this the Gophers? What am I looking at? Golly, man, 63 yards a game we can only put out. And we're giving up a buck four. All right, let's stop with the negatives here. Now, Philly, you know, they played Tampa Bay, lost to them, lost to Tennessee in overtime last week. They've had tight-ass games. The week before, week three, won the game, but it was 20-16. Beat Atlanta, 18-12. Opened the season. Wait a second. No, that's we don't want to go that far. But they did actually have a 10-9 the game the week before. Of course, that was preseason. So they've been not as good offensively, but it seems like their defense has been pretty solid. Obviously, like I said, we got to travel to Lincoln Financial, I think it is, field. And of course, you know, the guy that lit us up last year's not in the game. So you think, all right, dude, that guy's not going to torch us, Aaron. He's not going to torch us. Oh, wait, they got Wentz, who everybody loves in Minnesota, except when we're going to play him this weekend because, you know, Carson Wentz is basically a Minnesotan. The whole family, including him, grew up watching and loving the Vikes there in North Dakota. Stud player for North Dakota there, North Dakota State. They got a nice little program up there. They play in a dome. Basically a lot of guys that can't make that Power 5 D1, a lot of guys go there. It's pretty dope. Some even go to St. Cloud for a year or two and then go up there as well. They got a good thing going up there. However, I'm not a fan of him this weekend. Wentz, a guy that could chuck the you-know-what out of the ball once he gets on the outside, but he can run as well. He doesn't have to just sit in that pocket. Since he's been back, he's been playing pretty good. I'd say pretty good. He's two games he's been back. He had 50 attempts. Of course, that was OT for 348, two touches last week. We got our hands full. They got a hell of a defense, so that means Cousins, you know, is going to need some therapy after the game. If there's ever a game, Aaron, that we need to run the ball a little bit, even if it's 2-3 yards on first down, this is one of those games. We need to move the ball on this, you know, defense, but really to keep some of that offensive weapons, you know, off the field. And just, you know, a lot of this not running also kind of plays against, you know, our foundation, like we've been saying, as far as our defense isn't used to being back on the field so quick if we are going to pass, because sometimes when you pass, you have a little bit more three outs or a stalled drive here or there, maybe a little bit more than you would. But either way, you're just not, you know, the clock stops, or you just don't have that running clock when you're running the ball well. And they know it too, obviously. But if we don't watch out here, we're going to start to have to put Cousins in like a punt formation if we can't start running the damn ball. Because we can't be getting this guy who is guaranteed money, knock on wood, in the pros, guaranteed money. That's kind of scary. You know, he's lived up to the money, no doubt about it. How do you feel coming into this one? And like I said, the emphasis is on the running game. Basically, it's been a broken record the last couple of weeks. And defense. We cannot give up these frickin' big plays. Maybe we need to put Barr on the end sometimes on third down. And something we didn't mention last week, but that safety, who supposedly has been working on a hybrid safety slash linebacker role, we may need to get that guy who's got a rapport, you know, with the Zimmer defense. Let's get him in there. Maybe we need to, you know, move around Barr and get him off the edge. But no matter what, you know, and maybe we need to get him off back a couple yards too, because we're used to playing him kind of close for a safety anyway, because we play so much damn nickel, a little bit off that line so they don't hit us with these chunk plays and maybe make up for some of those, you know, cornerback issues. What are some of the keys here, man? Because, golly, if there's ever a game we could run the ball, or need to run the ball, I should say, this is the game. But, man, they got one of the best, if not the best, defensive line in all of NFL, man.
This is the game is the quote. This is the game for a lot of reasons, not only just to run the ball, but I think this is the game where you see what kind of team we are for the year. A lot of changes were made after losing to Philadelphia last year. I think preparation of seeing them again, either now or later in the season in the playoffs. So I think that we're in a spot here where we're really going to see what this team is about offensively against them. I think we just do what we've been doing and we'll have some success at it. I think, yes, you do need to run the ball more, but if you can't do that, I'm fairly confident we can throw the ball around if we need to. Of course, that's not something you wish for. Hopefully you can have some semblance of a running game, one to keep the defense honest and keep those defensive linemen home. But yeah, I'm more concerned about defensively, I think, and I hope that we see some creativity. I know you mentioned putting Barr at the end, and we have another good linebacker, middle linebacker named Eric Wilson we can put in for Barr, put Barr as a rush end and put Wilson in Barr's spot. He's a little faster, a little quicker, plays a lot like Kendricks does, and they put him in the middle. I think you hit the nail on the head with the Ioloka thing. And the hybrid safety, I think that's exactly why we brought him in, was for this game, to handle the things that Philadelphia were going to do to us. DeFilippo came from Philadelphia and pretty much gave Zimmer the keys to how we got beat last year. So I think we're going to see a lot of the changes as far as personnel and scheme that we got from DeFilippo, the weaknesses we might have had in the old defense, come to fruition in this game. I'm concerned about a couple of things going into this game. Alshon Jeffrey just killed Xavier Rhodes. And Alshon came back from injury last game, just this weekend, had 8 catches, 100 and some odd yards, a touchdown. So he's ready to play, and he's in form. And he's ever since he was with the Bears, he's always given Rhodes a really hard time. I think physically they match up really well. So I think Rhodes needs to be in his peak performance type of way. And I'm not sure he is with injuries. So that kind of concerns me a little bit. I really feel like it could come down to like a shootout like last week. I don't think Philadelphia is playing all that well defensively. Gave up some touchdowns to Nashville. They played in the weekend. So You know, it's a, I know Vegas has them as, like you said, about a pick'em game, 3-point underdog to the Vikings. I really feel like it's going to be either not a lot of points in a defensive game, which I'm not so inclined to believe just because of the way our defense has been playing. Maybe their defense will play well, but the faith in our defense, I don't really have it. I feel like it's going to be a bit of a shootout. I like our chances going in simply because I think we should have a chip on our shoulder from last year not performing well in that same stadium. So hopefully the guys can get up for that and really play well. Their defensive line is formidable, and without changes to our offensive line, that's definitely an advantage in their favor. So I think it's going to come down to 21-28, something like that. I think we win. I think we win by 7. That's just just feel like the cards are going that way. Wentz is a wild card because we didn't see him last year. I don't think we played him ever yet. So, and he presents challenges. He can run the football, which always gets our defense. If a guy can get out of the pocket and run, that's always, we play man a lot of zone in there. So we always have a problem with running quarterbacks. And that's when Sendale's got to make some hits. And I don't think Wentz is as shifty as Newton, but I know Newton's had Sendale's number on a couple of occasions. So running quarterbacks sort of worry me a bit. I'm going to go with the Vikings by 7. I just feel like they're going to get out for the game and try to get a little revenge, but in no way am I 100% sure on that. I feel like there's so many variables, but I think this is really the telltale sign going forward for the rest of the season of what this team is. It's either an 8-8 team. Well, it can't be 8-8 now because we have the tie, but you know, 7-9 or whatever, or we're gonna win this game and maybe catapult onto bigger and better things. But I think you're going to see where our weaknesses are, and I think you're going to see where our strengths are, and I think that's a major point of watching this game on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. You know, just in time for the Vikings, you know, Jeffrey comes back and has totally sparked the offense last week, too. Just in time, Elshon's coming back, and that's a good call. They've had their battles, and it hasn't always gone great. So, you know, Xavier will definitely, I believe, be up for the task, or at least, you know, make enough plays back. Now, they've been, you know, we talk about our hits and pressures and whatnot, and we lead the league in, you know, a lot of things, some positive, some really horrible. But their offensive line has been shaky, to say the least, too. They actually did. They're up 17-3. They gave up a huge lead last week. 4 sacks and 11 hits on Wentz. And it's not easy to hit Wentz, per se. Now, some of them can be him just trying to make a play and then he gets hit. But a lot of times he's already passed the line of scrimmage, where those are just go down as tackles. They don't necessarily go down as hits on the quarterback because he's not, you know, in the actual pocket by that time. But I'm with you. I'm with you. I think we're going to win the game, too. And I think it will be like a 4-7-point game. I like that. I think that's a good call, what you said about 7 points or something like that. I'm with you. I think we'll get the W just because there has been, I mean, not in the Bills game, but there has been some positivities that you're like, man, if we could just put it all together. We had the slow starts with offense. Now it doesn't look like that's the problem. Now we're just giving up, you know, whereas I thought a couple weeks ago I was just kind of being nitpicky. What turned out for us being nitpicky is now a full-on problem, and it still just kind of blows my mind that we're having to worry about our defense. It's just, it's pretty crazy, but if we did get this W, to have Arizona at home, that's a win. On the road at New Jersey, I just said New Jersey, come on. The Jets, although those are the people that go for them. You know, we can win that game. Now, New Orleans at home, that's a night game. That's a tough game, obviously, but it is at home. Detroit at home, and then we got a bye. And remember us saying, God, I'm glad we got a late bye. I'm really glad we got a late bye, man. That's going to be helpful. But then it kind of goes back to at Chicago. Do we think that was going to be a tough game at the beginning of the year? Yeah, it's always tough on the road, you know, but in conference especially. But now all of a sudden you're looking at that, and you got New England at home. And now that Miami game at home doesn't look so easy. And that's what's funny about it. You get 4 to 5 to 6 games in to a fresh NFL season, and then you really look at what you got. Because on paper, as we know, I mean, look at us, 13-3, we're 1-2-1. But as we've said a couple times, we were 2-2 at this time last year. So if we get this win, I think we could definitely catapult. And then, not to say that it makes up for the Buffalo home game, nothing will. But we got to strike back on one of these, at Philly, at New England, at Chicago. We got to win one of those games where we're per se because of that, you know, debacle at home. So we got it. We got to do that. It's really the only way to be positioned. And, you know, who knows? Maybe this is the way that the Vikings, with the squad that a lot of people think just a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago probably to be, you know, yeah, about 2 weeks ago, that we got a really good shot at the, you know, at the Super Bowl. And obviously just saying that, you know, that's never happened for us since we've been alive. Speaking from our age group and down, obviously. But, oh, man, look at that schedule and just like, yeah, that was an easy game. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of rambling on here. I'm with you.
Well,
I
if
think
you look
we're
at it, if you look at it, if you look at it, we're at the quarter pole of the season. We're at 4 games in. You've done your tinkering. You've done your try this, try that. Now you start to see what you do well and what you don't do well, and you want to emphasize your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. So I feel like it, right around the quarter poles when you start to see the identity of the team and what you're going to be. And I really feel like the defense is something that's going to get figured out simply because we've got all those players. They're good players. They've proven it. They're in their prime. Nobody's old. Sendejo's old, but he's 32 years old. So everybody's in their prime. They've performed well. It's a scheme thing. I think Zimmer's tinkering with a few things here and there, trying to see what works, what doesn't. I think now you can kind of pull it all together and say this is what we do well, and we're going to continue to do this. Offensively, you try a few things, you see what you do well and you don't do well. Obviously, we can throw the ball. We've got a couple good receivers. We got a great back that can catch the ball out of the backfield. We got a big back that can pound it in. So I think now you're going to start to see it all kind of coalesce and kind of become what it's going to become. I've still got a lot of faith in this ball club. And like you said, the next 2 games are on paper a little bit lighter of a schedule. And we've got the Saints after that, which could prove to be a challenging. But we get through the next 2 games. Let's say we get a win on Sunday and then 2 more wins. Then you had 3 wins and we're 4-2-1. That's not so bad going into the half season. So I think, you know, coming out of training camp and working in those first 4 games, it really is a time where you start to, you know, you try this and you try that. It's experimentation. So, I mean, I'm hoping that's the case and we bring it all together and focus on our strengths going forward.
Yeah, we should start to experiment with a running game. but, yeah, you're right. That is a good point. It's NFL is weird like that. Now it's not college football where it's like, yeah, 12 games, dude, you're done. Regular season's over. Like, it's a marathon, no doubt about it, because of injuries and whatnot. But we are still, like you said, a fourth of the way through the season, so we do have some numbers on the board now, and this is when, you know, the rubber hits the road. Just you got to do it. We need this win. Is it too early to say must win, or is this a must win, Aaron? That's something I wanted to ask you. I've been asking people all week.
Gosh, you know, I'm sure you got the same answer from everybody. It's really hard to tell because of
what could or could not happen in the season. I feel like where we are as a team right now, it's a must win just for morale and for proving that, you know, that we're competent NFL team. And in the long run of the season, you know, geez, I guess I got to decide. I'm going to say it's a must win just for confidence of the organization and everybody else moving forward. You go into Philadelphia, you beat a good football team, go on to a more weaker part of your schedule with some confidence. You know, and then you look at the flip side. Okay, let's say you lose in Philadelphia. Let's say you lose badly, and all of a sudden these next two games they don't look so good. They don't look so winnable. So I think it's a must win. Kind of erase the ghosts of last year. There's a lot of reasons why it could be a must win. But if you look at the length of the schedule and the length of an NFL schedule, you know, geez, I don't think you get into must wins until week 10 or so. But as far as this season is progressing, yeah, I do. I think it's a must win.
Yeah, as much as I don't like to think that way in sports and in life in general, like, if we don't do it here, it's a wrap. You know, it's not necessarily that, but yeah, it sure feels that way, man. Like I said, if it wasn't for that damn Bills game, I'd have a totally different mind state, man. It just, that Bills game's just a freaking, ugh. So anyway, that about wraps up the Vikings portion. We are going to talk a little bit of Minnesota Gopher football, obviously homecoming this weekend. The Iowa Hawkeyes versus the Minnesota Gophers. The Gophers got it at home. They are they're a 7-point underdog. I've noticed just kind of browsing through Iowa's, games this year. I saw them a couple of times. I saw that Wisconsin game. They contained Taylor, stud running back, somewhat. They played Boston College last year with a similar defense. I know that's last year, but they still won the game, even though that stud running back went off even more than Taylor on this one. Of course, you know, they had a couple of weeks to get maybe a couple of new plays in there to kind of throw them off. But to still win the game with a guy going for a 157 is pretty impressive. And they stayed with Wisconsin pretty much all the way, all the way through that game. And as we know, you know, Des Moines on the road at night it usually means upset, especially if you're a ranked team. Ohio State got their ass kicked last year in Des Moines at night. Wisconsin was able to pull it out. That was their last game as well, so they got a bye just like us this week. I was kind of hoping that was not the case, but it is what it is. Obviously, the Ghosts, as much as I don't like early byes, probably was good for them because they got their ass kicked, and, you know, they didn't lose last week. They didn't lose last week, so that felt pretty good. It's just coming off that butt-whipping. The Hawkeyes got to be looking at their run game going, oh, yeah, dude, we're just going to get up on them and just shove it down their throat, pause, and, you know, just run it down their throat. Earlier this year, I think their game two against Iowa State, generally, obviously, you know, in-state rivalry, generally a tight game. They held Iowa State to 3 points, 13-3. Beyond Wisconsin, though, they haven't really played anyone of note, and they hung with that. They got a returning quarterback who's pretty solid, and Stanley can chuck the ball but also can run it. They always seem to have a tight end that can block and catch passes. They're kind of built like a mini Wisconsin, but with that coach, every 3 to 4 years, they're going to have a chance to go to a big bowl game and have a chance to, definitely go to the Big Ten, you know, title game as well. It seems about every 3 to 4 years with the Hawkeyes. Now, at home, it is an afternoon game, 2:30 Central. You know, this season is just kind of like, I want to see improvements. I definitely don't want to see what happened 2 weeks ago many more times. I thought you brought up a good point, though. I remember you saying this 2 weeks ago that you can see that happening with the big boys, the Wisconsins, the Michigans, and to a lesser extent with that style of play, Iowa. I mean, it's farmland down there, last I checked. So it is kind of scary heading this game, Aaron, where you're like, wow, Maryland was able to just kick the crap out of us and just run us over. Now, given, like we said, when you're down 14-0 and you're playing an option team, that's not a good look. You're probably going to lose, especially a team that can do it well. And they did beat Texas, who is now ranked and has won three straight or four straight since then. And Maryland's kind of, we don't really know what they're going to get. They either come out and they look great or not, whereas Iowa, you pretty know, you know, they're not going to blow you away. They're not going to blow your doors off. They're just going to beat you in the head for about three and a half yards. It's more than 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but it's definitely got that old black and blue style of play. It's just one of those games where we need it. You know, with our lineup and how many freshmen and redshirt freshmen and to a lesser extent sophomores that are just inexperienced, I guess you could say that with some juniors as well. Is it just kind of like, hey, we need to get some turnover, create some turnovers or something to kind of just, we need some breaks early, like basically first half. First half, we need some breaks to go our way. Otherwise, it feels like we're going to get ran over come fourth quarter to me, Aaron.
Yeah, if you didn't like that Maryland game, you hold on for this Iowa game. It is going to, in my opinion, it is going to be a bloodbath for a few reasons. Iowa freaking hates us right now. It's a recruiting battle. We're getting the recruits that they used to get. They want to make a statement as far as that's concerned. Second of all, like you mentioned before, we're young and they're not. We have a young system, a young coach. Only been here for 2 seasons. Their coach has been there for going on 20 now. And that's just continuity and recruiting to what you do. And they have been doing the same thing for 40 years, and they're not going to stop. And they recruit to it. Their defensive line and offensive lines are dominant over ours at the moment. It is not going to be pretty as far as I'm concerned. As much as I love the Gophers and I want them to come out fired up and give it their best shot, I just feel like it's going to be a rough one for them. I know I was coming off a tough loss to Wisconsin, which either helps or hurts. Either they're going to be dejected or they're going to want, they're going to come out, you know, pissing fire. So as much as I love the Gophers and I hope they keep it close, I just don't see that happen. I think they're going to learn what Big Ten football is all about this week, and it's probably not going to be pretty. I was going to run the ball, and I don't see Iowa needing to throw it much. I remember second year of Jerry Kill, Iowa beat us by just running the football. I think they threw the ball 2 times, and they just pounded us, and I think that's what's going to happen again. Plus, you got to look at what Maryland did, seem pretty successful, so you'd be a fool not to try to do it to us as well. So until we can find guys who can play that option, we're going to see a lot of it. And, yeah, I don't like the Gophers. You know, I'm hoping that they play hard and they keep it 32, something like that. I think its score is going to end up 32-14, something like that, maybe 32-7, 28-7, something like that. But it's going to be a rough day for the kids. I think they're going to learn a lot. I think they need to learn a lot. But I think it's going to be a lot of just dominant front seven, dominant offensive line, and a big lesson in Big Ten football for the Minnesota Gophers on homecoming night.
Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. We need it. We need them. We need them. And I was really hoping that they maybe this is a trap game. Like, who's next week? Who are they playing next week? Well, maybe they're looking ahead to Halloween, because that's the toughest game they got at Penn State, but that's right before Halloween. They got Indiana next week, and then they are at home for Maryland. So Oh, man. It's just one of those things that you just kind of know what's coming, and it's just not a good look. It is not a good look. What are you going to do? Go ahead. You're going to say
something? Well, you raise a good point. Yeah, if you can get turnovers, you know, we can rest on some hope that they can get some turnovers. And maybe in some weird way, Iowa's looking ahead to Indiana. You know, it's possible. Anything can happen. But just by the numbers, it just seems like it's not going to be pretty for those guys. But, I don't want to sound like Fleck, but, you know, that's a learning experience, and it's got to come sooner or later. And if you can get this dealt with in Iowa, maybe you don't lose it by a lot to Michigan. And because Michigan's going to do the same thing, they're going to use until we get our offensive and our defensive line some strength and maturity and continuity. You know, it's going to be hard to go against those teams that have established that as their program for quite some time. And maybe not the Purdue's we won't have a problem with, or the Indiana's, who are also struggling in those departments. But when you've got these established programs who have depth and have seniors on the defensive line, seniors on the offensive line, guys that have played, you know, 40-some games, it's going to be a really tough sledding for, you know, not only this season, but probably some of next season as well. So, you know, that's just something we're going to have to get used to. And, well, let's not say get used to. It's just something we're going to have to endure
right.
As the program continues to build. And as these kids get older and have gone through this enough, you know, then they'll be the guys that'll be the dominant offensive lines and the dominant defensive lines. But I just don't see us having really anything to stick our hats on or to get a win here. I'm trying to find something, but you never know. I mean, like you said, you line them up and you play them. So, I mean, we beat Fresno State,
yeah.
Who's just UCLA, so, you know, things can happen. But, yeah, it just seems like it's going to be a pretty rough day for them, and I hope that they learn from what it is that happens to them this Saturday. And it's unfortunate that it's homecoming, but I guess that's the way the cookie crumbles.
There you go. And obviously, we go way back with the Miami-Florida State rivalry. That's coming up this weekend. And like I said, with the turnovers, I mean, the Gophers got to get some turnovers, man. They need turnovers really, really bad. So I'm going to play this song. Turnover chain. All right, so we got a good luck. We got a little good luck thing. Turnover chain.
That ding.
What is ours?
Ding.
We don't have anything, do we? Is it
the turnover paddle?
Is it a paddle? Do you get the paddle if you turn it over? Well, we don't have one.
Yeah,
do we?
I wonder. No, we should get like one. We should get some. What should be our turnover?
We're trying to put a goddamn oar in the water. We're still trying to get oars in the water. We haven't even got
the oar
in the water yet.
Somebody's got to tell this Fleck guy that they have a Evan Roots now, you know.
Yeah.
Get yourself a Polaris.
Yeah.
A Polaris or an Evan Roots,
you
know.
Go right online. You can go right online there, Fleck. I'm sure you got a couple of dollars in your account there. I'm sure you can take care of that there. You got
tell you what, I got a guy.
There, yeah, you
no,
got
I
a
really
guy.
Don't.
I got a guy. It's a good price. I got a guy.
You know, he'll fix it for you, too, if something goes wrong. So it shouldn't be too big of a problem.
Just turn it right in the shop
but,
and let it done by the weekend. It'll be a good deal.
You know, just don't tell him you're fishing hole or you'll find him there the next week. So.
Yeah, right.
But, no, I don't really have anything else to say. It's going to be interesting. Gopher game is going to be interesting. And I think the Viking game, it is what it is. I think it'll be fine. I think we'll win that game, and I'm hoping we win that game because that'll set up good for the next part of the season. So, yeah, that's about it for that I have for the week.
All right, go Vikings, go Gophers. We'll be back next week. Per usual, thanks for everybody that listens. Have yourself a great night. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, when as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the holdback, and when you become a world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it. Now